The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It is Paradise City right here on 710 KNUS, hour two of four for The George Show. We're going to be replaced, but not until 10 o'clock, by Charlie Kirk and all the rest of the lineup nationally until we go live and local at 3 o'clock with Deb Flora, then Stephen Tubbs at 4 from 4 to 7. But right now, you've got me and two superstars. You hear their voices regularly on this show. We are hitting some crunch time for them. We have the chairperson of the state GOP party. Her name is Christy Burton Brown. Call her KBB just to shorten the words, save some wear and tear on the mouth and all that. And then Priscilla Ron, who is the vice chair, and I think she's adopting the title Commodore. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, George. Good morning.
We are days away from the ballots going out, and that makes this period of time interesting from the candidate standpoint, and I've been one. And I know, Priscilla, you've run also, that when you get into November timeframe, right before that, when the ballots go out, you feel like there's more I should be doing, but there's almost nothing you can do. The days for doing something that are going to be meaningful outside of an October surprise are right now up until when those ballots go out. And then you're almost on like a tractor beam. Then everything is get out the vote. What is going on for the party in these last few days? And we saw a downturn in some polling, I don't know, back in August. Have we seen it rebound? Christy, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, George, I mean, I think it depends on which race you're talking about, but there is polling kind of all over the place in Colorado in these different races. I think you have to look at the specifics of the polling, but it does show that there is absolutely room for our candidates to grow. There's still voters to reach. And I think especially in the midterm election, George, I still do think in these last 30 days there's things our candidates and our people can do. You're absolutely right that a huge focus is getting out the vote, but it's also still knocking on those unaffiliated swing voter doors. It's also the Republicans who often don't vote in midterms and only in presidential, making sure they turn out and that our voter turnout is higher than the Dems turnout here in Colorado. And then I think the last thing I'd say, George, too, is we do one really helpful thing in the polling that we see is the section of undecided voters who still haven't made up their minds in these various races. What issues are top of mind for them? What do they most care about? And we are seeing that they care about issues our candidates are talking about in their ads, in their mailers, door to door. And that's inflation, that's crime, that's these issues that our people have real solutions for.
Well, there are some distractions out there, some of them self-inflicted, but, you know, the lefty media is always willing to give it a push, and that involves, and I've had conversations about this topic also, but with Heidi's campaign, as she fights to take on a behemoth of a guy, and just in terms of the money that he has available, Heidi has had this discussion about this furry thing in the classroom, and Priscilla, you are in the classroom. Is there anything to this story? Is this a story that we should move on from? Is it a legitimate issue? What do you think?
Well, what I have to say is there's a lot of stuff that happens in public schools that school board members don't know about, superintendents don't know about, community members don't know about because they happen in classrooms. And I can tell you, I mean, when they said, oh, CRT is not being taught in schools, and I'm like, yes, it is. So I would caution the public, if they don't believe something because they haven't seen it, doesn't mean that it's not true. And there's a lot of evidence out there of things that are happening in our public schools. And it's just evidence that the fact that POLIS and the Democrats are making fun of situations that are happening in our public schools just shows he's in a bubble. He's out of touch. He's ridiculing parents and children who are, you know, who need our help and our support. And Heidi's the person that's listening to parents, listening to students, saying, okay, how can we help and address this situation so that our education system can be better? Because quite frankly, under the Democrats, I mean, our kids can't read and write and do math at grade level. So they have no place to ridicule anything that Heidi's talking about when it comes to public education.
Well, I think that's true, that there's a lot of problems with the public education piece. But this distraction has been, to some extent, I think, exacerbated by the fact that they won't let it go. And by they, I'm not even talking about the mainstream media anymore. I'm talking about Heidi has doubled down on this a little bit. The only question I asked her, and the one that was most important to me, was, is it happening? If it's happening, if it's really happening, then I think this conversation goes away, because it's true. There are enough problems with public education. My God, look at DPS, APS, some of these things where monies are being spent more on administration and in the classroom with the teachers and the students. That's all legit. But Priscilla, have any of your friends or colleagues or anyone, has anyone ever told you, yes, this happens, I've seen it here, blank?
Yes.
Wow. What did they say where?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm not going to say
I feel like this is a bit like a Senate confirmation hearing.
Well, I don't want to get caught in this conversation because it is a distraction, but I'm just going to say, like, the doubters and the deniers of things that are happening in our public education system who haven't done their due diligence to fact check stuff. I mean, that's the reason why we have the problems that we have, because people are so quick to say, oh, that's so ridiculous. Well, you know, when something's a lie, they try to make it believable. When something sounds far-fetched, it's like, oh, that can't be true. Well, a lot of times it's the things that sound far-fetched that are actually true. And so what I would encourage people to do, instead of being quick to say that's so ridiculous, is to do their own fact-checking and look for evidence. And they can Quora, the public can Quora documents. They can do their homework. But I think it's just irresponsible for people to focus on that when we have bigger issues in our community that are way more important to address. Why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't we talking about, we had students in DPS who died and couldn't graduate last spring because of a fentanyl overdose. So what do we say to those parents? So I think this issue that the Democrats, this is really pathetic, quite frankly, that they're concerned about one comment that Heidi made about things that parents are saying are happening in schools, rather than really addressing the big issue where the Democrat leadership has failed all of us.
Yeah, I agree with that. Christy, when you look out there and you're going around the state all the time for this final push, when you look at the races that we need to win, and I'm talking about just to take back the state Senate, I don't think there's any chance we take back the state House, and in no way am I down on the party's efforts in that way. It's the reality of how the districts exist. It's just where we're at. But in the Senate, and I'll talk about Priola in a minute, when you go around to those districts and you're having those conversations, are we going to pull those things off? I mean, are you sensing that there is a shift in momentum there? Because those things are close and hotly contested.
You know, George, the state Senate has always been one of the closest races at large that we have here in Colorado, taking back control of the state Senate. It's what our entire side is invested in, getting back the state Senate, putting some check and balance in Colorado's government, or having a cohesive government that works together if we elect Heidi Ganahl as governor. And so I think, George, the state Senate is absolutely still in play. Nothing has changed there. We can win in every single one of these seven competitive districts. The Democrats know it. I have heard from their people who know their insiders that they are extremely concerned, including about some of the districts in suburban areas that, you know, in years past, the Democrats thought they had a lock on. I live in a suburban district. I live in SB 27, where Tom Kim is running against Tom Sullivan. And that's one of the races the Democrats are most concerned about. They know we are running the better candidate who's representative of his community, who's putting in the hard work, who money is behind him in the right way. And so, yeah, I mean, these seats are going to be fought tooth and nail to the end. Obviously, the Democrats are going to try and stop us from taking control, and we're going to try and get control of the state Senate. And I do think, George, you're going to see that be a huge battle until 7 p.m. on Election Day all across the state in those seven key districts.
When we're talking about polling, and you have to take it with a grain of salt, although polling in Colorado tends to be better than other polling nationally and whatnot, but what are we seeing and how are we feeling, Priscilla, with the Joe O'Dea race? I think if you listen to the national pundits out there, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, whoa, Colorado might actually be in play as we continue to see candidates struggle to get over the goal line in places like Arizona and Ohio and Pennsylvania, all those places where those were the upfront, we knew it was going to be a pitch battle kind of a fight, but the Republicans were presumed to win. Colorado is sort of off the radar. Now it's there. What are you seeing that gives anybody a sense of hope that O'Day can pull this off?
Well, yeah. I mean, what we're looking at is the reality of the history in our state. And on November 8th, we're going to either have Michael Bennett or Joe O'Day as our senator. Those are our two choices. And do we want someone who's from Colorado who represents Colorado values, or do we want someone who's just going to, like, co-sign on everything this feckless President Joe Biden has done? And, you know, Joe, he is a fiscal conservative. He believes in family values. He believes in Second Amendment. He believes in all the things that we believe in. And I think that there are other things that we can work with him about where Republicans feel very passionate on certain issues. But at least we would have an open door to talk with him. And then at least we would have a majority in the Senate. And that's what we need. We need to think, like, bigger picture about what a majority means for us in the House and the Senate. And he's reaching out to other communities that we typically haven't gone. I know the Ethiopian community is going to endorse him because they're very upset with Democrat policies. So I think that Joe is putting himself in a great position, and everywhere he goes, he's getting more and more reception. And so I'm very excited about Joe as our candidate.
You touched upon George, something that
you asked about the polling too. Yeah. I just want to say, I think one thing why we're seeing some national money come into Colorado and see chances get better for us in Colorado in that U.S. Senate race, because when you look at the polling numbers on the independent voters, people who are not committed to Republican or Democrat parties, you actually see Joe O'Day extremely close to Michael Bennett in those numbers, anywhere between 1 to 3 points down right now. That's very movable in the last 30 days. And so you see a lot of movement coming towards him, and that's why you see national money coming in, boosting his name ID, talking about who he is. When voters do hear about him and his contract with Michael Bennett, they are moving in his direction. So it'll be a big push the last 30 days. But I think also, like, New Hampshire has mostly been taken off the table for Republicans. And so that has also turned more eyes towards Colorado as a potential pickup with just the quality of candidate that we have here.
Are you hearing any concerns out there from Republican voters about even participating in the process because of these lingering ongoing concerns with voter integrity, election integrity, especially in light of the fact that our current Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, who's on the ballot, sent out 30,000 registration cards to non-citizens who are not eligible to vote? Are you hearing? My concern is Republicans say, what's the point? It's preordained. There's nothing I can do to make a difference. The system is rigged.
Yeah, so honestly, from very few people, George, yes, there are a handful of people out there who, I think there's a lot of people who are concerned about, are our elections transparent? Are they accountable? Do we have enough integrity in them? And I think the answer with Jenna Griswold in office is clearly no. She neglects her job. She's incompetent. She does all of these things that are huge errors because she's focused on campaigning and spending taxpayer dollars campaigning for herself, putting her face on TV instead of doing her job. So I think a ton of people are concerned about that, about her incompetence and her inability to be transparent and accountable. But I think very few people take that to the conclusion of, therefore, I should not vote. I hear from far more Republicans who say it's more important than ever that we not only cast our vote, but that we make sure our friends and neighbors do it, that we have an overwhelming number of votes cast, that we turn out in record numbers as Republicans. And then the extra step is go be an election judge, go be a poll watcher. I mean, if people are concerned about people who should not be allowed to vote actually being registered to vote, election judges have the ability to challenge that actually on the spot. And people's driver's licenses actually show if they're a citizen or not citizen. So if people that Jenna Griswold invited to come vote registered to vote illegally, election judges would actually be able to catch that. And that's why I'm really happy that our party's done a great job recruiting election judges who can be in the room and stop any fraud that Jenna may have encouraged from happening on the spot.
Here's some texts that are coming in for you guys, or at least about the topic. where are the Republican ads? I get that a lot. I get where are the Republican ads, and I imagine they mean on, you know, television, if that's what we still call it anymore, on the major networks and whatnot. And then I also hear people come up with all of these ideas, like they should run this ad, they should run that ad. Where are the ads? What are we doing?
So, George, for one thing, a number of our candidates are up on TV. Heidi's up on TV. Joe O'Dea is up on TV. Is it a fact that Jared Polis has more money to be on TV more often? Absolutely. But it's not that our people are not up on TV. They are. Also, sometimes you'll see Republicans run a lot more targeted ad campaigns.
That's
and what
right.
that means is perhaps they're showing up on certain streaming services or digital sites and texting to specifically targeted voters, whereas the Democrats take their millions of dollars and just blast it everywhere without targeting at all. In many cases, because Republicans are dealing with less money, our candidates clearly have less money than Jared Polis, they will more carefully target who is seeing their ads. So I also get that Republican saying, where are our people's ads? Well, you're probably not seeing them in large part because they're being targeted to voters whose minds need to be changed. So it's both the targeting of ads and then, yes, of course, Jared Polis has more money to blast his ads absolutely everywhere.
I do think there's something to that. In fact, if you are a reliably Republican voter, conservative, and you're seeing a bunch of ads on your internet or social media or whatever it is, that money is being misspent because the idea isn't to get to you, unless it's a get-out-the-vote effort, and that's legit, but they really should be pushing hard on those unaffiliateds right now. You got crushed during the primary. You should not be getting equally crushed in the general. At least that's my sense of it. Priscilla, when you're out there, when you hear people talk about the enthusiasm they have for the election, is it real? Is it palpable? Is it different than the Dems? I mean, my great concern is they have an undeniably successful machine for getting out the vote. For people that don't even want to vote, didn't know there was election, they just happen to have been carpet bombed with ballots, and they know that they have one, and they get all those people to vote. How do we counter that?
Well, here's what I've been experiencing. I've been door knocking a lot in Denver. It's where I work. It's where the fight is. It's where a large majority of our state are impacted by a lot of the crime. And when I knock doors in Denver and I'm talking to unaffiliated and Democrat voters, they are very aware of the issues. It's every single time I door knock in Denver, I encounter someone who's had their car stolen. Okay, like they're very aware and they're very open. Yeah, they're very open to change, and they're not beholden. They've seen what's happened in Denver specifically under the mayor and that leadership. They've seen what's happened in their state, and their personal experience is what's changing them. So we have the wind in our back, quite frankly, because the Democrats are going to have to defend their record, but we're going to hold them accountable this November. And it's our job as volunteers to go out there and talk to people and say, hey, there's a better choice. We have people that are actually intentionally running to help fix inflation, to help fix our education system, to help reduce the crime and save our children. Those are what our candidates are running on. And that's the message to everybody in the state of Colorado, that we don't have to be locked in for four more years of this trajectory, which is not good.
I want to ask you about this, too, because I'm getting some texts about the polls that have at least been reported. And they show two things. One, they show that Joe and Heidi are behind, but not by the same numbers. Like, Joe is within striking distance, like within the margin of error. Heidi, much, much farther behind in some of the public polling that's been put out there. Why is that, Christy?
So, George, I think there's a few reasons. I think, first of all, Jared Polis, everyone always knew Jared Polis would be the hardest Democrat to beat in the state. He uses his money to lie about his record. And that's going to be the question for voters. As Heidi says herself, Jared Polis treats this like an auction, not an election. And he's out there putting his face on TV, spending millions upon millions of his own money to lie to voters, to say that he saved them money, to say he's making Colorado a safer state, when he has, you know, enacted 85 taxes and fees over the last 4 years, when Colorado's number one in auto theft, cocaine use, number two in fentanyl overdose death. That's a reality. But when you have millions of dollars to lie to voters, that is partly what creates the difference in poll numbers. else don't think that Republicans should be looking at poll numbers and saying, oh, it's all over. Here's exactly what's going to happen. We've seen them be wrong before. We saw Heidi absolutely crush Jared Polis in the last debate. She has another debate coming up on Thursday night that people should, people all across the state are going to see. So there's still time to close the gap. Heidi's running a very strong race. She's a very strong candidate. But I think you see that Jared Polis is out there lying to voters and put his money behind his lies.
Priscilla, last question for you about all this stuff right here. Some of the other races that are down ballot that just don't have the funds and don't get the coverage outside of like us, 710, our groups, the community and stuff like that. And when you were, by the way, giving your description of people telling you about their stolen cars, I know I'm the good idea fairy here, but I'm thinking, can't we start a hashtag Where's My Car campaign? And it's just people taking pictures of the empty space in front of their home where their car used to be. Hashtag Where's My Car, Jared Polis and Phil Weiser. Anyway, when you're going around out there, those other races, Attorney General, Secretary of State, Treasurer, first off, everybody know, not everybody, most people have heard of Jenna Griswold. They have heard of Phil Weiser. I've seen some of the polling. Their name ID is not ridiculous at all. It's really low for someone who's been in that office. The other guy, the treasurer, nobody knows who it is. In fact, I think people are amazed to know that we have a treasurer. That's how low profile this guy has been. How do we win for them? And I ask in this context, are their fortunes tied to how Heidi and Joe do? And that's it. I mean, if Heidi and Joe get swamped, then it doesn't matter. They can't win. Or are we still the Colorado we used to be, which is we'll take a little of this and a little of that?
You know, that it's tough for me to predict, but I would think that I've heard positive things about our candidates down the ballot. But at the end of the day, it's going to be up to all of us as volunteers, as citizens of Colorado, to talk about our candidates and to go on social media. You asked about ads and like where we don't have the money for ads, we have to make up in our voice, in retweeting, in calling our friends. It's legal to get 10 ballots. Go out there and go get ballots from friends and family. Talk to our coworkers. I mean, this is not an election where I just turn in my ballot and I feel like I'm done, or I make a $100 donation to a candidate and I think that I'm done. No, this is an election where we need massive turnout and we need to go out there and be activists and go talk to people, unaffiliated and Democrats, and say, have you heard of Pam Anderson? Have you heard of Lang Sias, John Kellner, all of our candidates? And make sure we get their lit out. That's what we're going to have to do. We need to mobilize and do that, which is what I'm seeing from counties all across the state. I mean, we're having massive turnout of volunteers. We need to continue that push, just like in a race, right? You don't pull off the gas pedal. You just keep going, and you go all the way until that last ballot is cast. And so that's what we're going to have to do, but I'm hearing positive things about all of our candidates.
Christy Burton Brown and Priscilla Ron, Chair and Vice Chair of the Colorado Republican Party. It is crunch time, and I appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedules to come on air here to talk to us about this. I'd love to keep you on speed dial, and I say that because we're still in October, and if there's going to be an October surprise, I'd love to have you guys back on to talk about it. And maybe it's a good one. Maybe it's a good surprise from us to them. I don't know, but I'd love to have you back on. Thanks for spending time with us.
Thanks, George.
See you, Priscilla. See you, KBB. Hey, George Brockman on The George Show. Went a little bit long. We're going to cut away for a break. When we come back, I want to take your calls. We certainly had texts. What have you heard there, and what are you thinking? Some of this is a question about where are all the ads, where are all the mailers, where are all the yard signs, where are all the this and that. Have you seen them? Are you getting them? Are they making a difference to you, especially if you're an unaffiliated voter? And some of you have texted in and said, hey, I'm unaffiliated. I'm not getting anything. That's concerning. That's concerning. There's still time to get it to you. Usually coincides with the mailing of the ballots. But I'm interested in that because I have seen in the mailbox kajillions of mailers for this person, for that person. And of course, we talk about it off air as well. Give us a call, 303-696-1971. What's happening out there? Are you seeing the effort? How are you feeling about it? Do the Republicans have a chance? George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here on 710 KNUS. My thanks to Priscilla Ron and Christy Burton Brown for that discussion. There's other issues to get into there, but there are so many races and so many things. I can't cover them all. One thing I did not get to talk to them about, and it's maybe it's a benefit, because in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have on Michael Fields from Advanced Colorado Action about the effort to recall party fluid Kevin Priola, who has switched over to the Democrats. As you know, we had conversations about that. So, of course, the response was, hey, voters want that seat back because he's going to end up this term representing a Republican district as a Democrat. So there was a petition process that began. It was supported by the law, the Secretary of State, and the Attorney General. And that thing got underway in earnest. It was making great headway, still is. And it's going to get wrapped up here, I think, by Election Day with a number of signatures to certify a recall for after the new year when the new district exists. And then something happened in court. Kevin Priola decided and the Democrats decided it's not fair for voters who I represent to be able to remove me from office, so I'm going to sue. There was a hearing last week in court. That hearing resulted in an order issued by the judge. We'll talk about that with Michael Fields in the next hour after we talk with Aaron Kane. There's some other stuff, too, and we're going to follow up on this. Listen, the furry thing is not an issue, but it's an issue. And it's only an issue because it continues to be beaten around with this, where's the proof thing. This is the problem that we have when we start having conversations about things as if they're facts and they're not facts. And when they can't be proven, we don't just quickly say, I get it, let's move on. It's not working. So this thing is out there a little bit. I presume in part that the decision that Heidi made, and we can talk about this too, Heidi made a decision to not participate in the 9 News Forum. It's not really a debate that has Kyle Clark as the moderator and Jared Polis on the other side. She's the only statewide candidate to not do that. And it's interesting. I don't know what people's feedback on that is. In my mind, I think, yes, there's nothing good that can come from her going to do that other than exposure to voters who aren't likely to vote for her anyway. I mean, the 9 News audience, not known for being incredibly conservative. They're definitely center left at best. And that's, they've cultivated that. I mean, that's how they approach their telling of the news, the staffing of the investigative team, the stories that they choose. That's their goal, is they know their market, and their market is Denver. And Denver isn't conservative, man. It's like 4 out of 5 people are not Republicans out of there. Why would they cultivate a following amongst Republicans? So they don't. So I get Heidi's position that she's not going to go there because it's just a place where only bad things can happen. I totally appreciate that. It's interesting, however, that everybody else has come up with a different answer, whether it's Kellner or Anderson or Sias. And I don't know if there, I think there's some other congressional things that are going on, too. That's interesting to me. My opinion doesn't matter. There was never a place to go. Listen, in the state of Colorado, the organizations that will host forums tend to be left of center. League of Women Voters. Most of these other community groups, they all tend to be pretty much left of center. That's just what you're signing up for. I never once turned down an opportunity to go to a forum or a debate because I can't lose any votes in those rooms, right? And I never did. In fact, I came away with votes in those rooms. So, if I were giving out advice for free, and I guess that's what I'm doing here on 710, I'd say there is a risk to doing it. I get why you're not doing it, but so what? Right. I mean, if the polls are real, if the polls are even partly real, you got nothing to lose. Go out there and continue to show the contrast. My gosh, the thing that you did down in Pueblo, and we played the sound from it at that Chamber of Commerce event. I thought Heidi acquitted herself very, very well and clearly got under Jared's skin, which is something he's just not accustomed to because nobody ever holds him accountable. Nobody ever asks that follow up hard question. They just throw a teeny tiny softball and run away. So I thought it was impressive how she did down there, and I thought, okay, do the 9 News thing. It doesn't cost you anything. Agree to do it. I mean, maybe you say I'll agree to do it, but I don't want Kyle Clark to do it because Kyle's definitely left of center, and you feel like he's in gotcha journalism, which is undeniable. I mean, it's just there's always going to be that question or two in every single interview where he tries to surprise you with something. It's just one of those things, man. You just got to get used to it. But nonetheless, everybody else is going to participate in this thing. I don't think anyone can win an election with a debate, but I do think someone can lose an election with a debate performance, especially if it's recorded and broadcast. And that's it right there. Here's some folks texting, and Kyle Clark is the master of manipulation and twisting words for his preferred content. It's also this, and he's not the one that cornered the market on this or invented it, but there's this thing where interviewers, members of the media, will build a whole bunch of BS facts into their sentence leading up to their question. You know what I mean? It'll be things like, it's undeniable that global warming is caused by you driving your specific car around the block. Heidi, why do you hate kittens? Do you know what I mean? Like, so it'll be a series of questions that are disconnected in a way from the accusations or the facts in there. I mean, I've heard him say a couple times when he gets an answer he doesn't like because he can't pin someone down. And that happens, man. Outside the court of law, that happens. And he'll say things like, well, I get that you don't want to answer the question, but blah, 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 blah. We can't tolerate that. There's just no room for anyone in the media to be able to describe another person's answer and to be able to characterize it as you're not answering the question. The viewers get that, man. They're not that stupid. They understand what's being answered and not. And if we're in the not answering questions game, go back and listen to that debate with Heidi and Polis down there in Pueblo. Guy got asked some specific questions about crime and quickly shifted to something about budget cuts, you know, unrelated to that. And other things. And we've done these jobs, and nobody holds them accountable. That's just how it is. I'll tell you who will be someone that you want to turn to, by the way, for a reliable source of funds as you look at this. And I know you know this, Colorado leading America in inflation. Interest rates across the board going up. I mean, we're up over 7 for mortgage rates right now. I mean, I've had people tell me, hey, George, this thing is going to calm down. It's going to come down. Yeah, when? I mean, I get that it will. When? I mean, are we in the 70s? Like, are we in the 1970s, end of the 70s kind of model, the Carter years? Or are we somewhere else where this is just a one-off, a blip? I don't know. But if you're 55 or older and you're starting to think to yourself, my God, man, how am I going to make it through the next 10, 20, 30 years? How am I going to retire? Bingo Reverse Mortgage. They have the answer. Go check them out at bingoreversemortgage.com. These are the folks that will help you tap into the equity in your home. Completely legal, completely appropriate, and completely beneficial. You've earned it. You paid the mortgage year in and year out. You've paid the increased taxes as your property values have soared. That equity is in there for either you or someone down the road. If you need it, go get it. And Bingo Reverse Mortgage can help you do it. You don't have to take all of it. You can take a little bit of it. Reach out to them, and they'll help you get this done. Here's the key. There's always going to be an appraisal for any time you tap into anything to do with your house, refinance, or whatever. That appraisal costs about $1,000. It gets refunded to you if you close with Bingo Reverse Mortgage. And that's only if you tell them you heard about them from me, George, right here on KNUS. So you give them a call at 720-541-5545. That's Equal Housing Lender. Call 720-541-5545 for cost information and conditions. Licensed in Colorado, NMLS, ID number 226-8418. Listen, we're going to cut away for a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our super smarties there at Alpine Planning. And my hope is they've got some information that'll let us know where the market is going. It has been so up and down, it's been a bit unpredictable. We'll be joined by them in just a moment. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. That time of the show when we get to be made smarter by the good folks and our friends at Alpine Planning. Before we get right into the finances, Gabe, how'd the Mariners do last night?
You're just twisting the knife.
Oh, buddy, listen, I'm disappointed because as a Yankees fan, I needed the Mariners to take down the Astros. How do you give up a walk-off three-run home run? Who does that in the playoffs?
I don't know, but it's the one time I've questioned Scott Servais. It's like Robbie Ray has given up more homers than any pitcher in the league, I think, over the last 5 years. And Alvarez hits .320 against lefties. In that situation, I can't fathom why you bring him in. He's never had a close in his career. I was shocked. I actually texted my brother 2 minutes before the walk-off was hit, I said, if he gives up a bomb, I'm gonna lose it. And luckily, no one was in the office because I was screaming.
The game was over. It was over. You had an Aroldis Chapman moment. He's no longer going to be a Yankee, by the way. But we got bit by that snake a bunch of times. No reference to Billy Snakes. Hey, Gabe, make us smarter about what's going on this morning. Tell us that everything's gone up 100,000%.
Not 100,000%, but we are in the green on all three indexes. Now obviously, we'll see how much weight that holds. We are in a five-day skid on the S&P 500, but currently we do have the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P up about 0.2% each. And as I said, George, this is coming off a five-day losing streak. People are just really looming for this big elephant in the room. With the CPI report due out tomorrow. And I think read an interesting article by some of the economists out of JP Morgan. They feel that, you know, if inflation comes in around expectations, that 8.1%, we'll see relatively flat. But if it does come in much above that, even 8.2, 8.3, 8.4, that it could be another, turbulent time in the market, maybe even a 3, 4, 5% drop. However,
over what period of time do you think you'd see a 3, 4, or 5% drop
in tomorrow's trading? Is what they're saying. They say, if inflation comes in well over expectations, it's going to sort of be what happened in September. You know, but the opposite could also be true. If we get a reading somewhere in the high to mid sevens, it'll sort of be like when the inflation was reported in August for July, right? You know, it's all about managing expectations. And so on the contrary, in August, when we had the inflation report come out, we actually saw, a big gain, I think, of 3 or 4% in trading that day. So obviously tomorrow is going to be huge, as well as continuing to get through earnings season. I think really what investors are looking at it is not for potentially the next rate hike with the Fed, but what their plans are going into 2023. And I think earnings and inflation will be a big predictor of that.
When does the Fed meet again? And is your expectation that they're going to go 0.75 north independent of what happens with the inflation number tomorrow?
So I think they're really baking in another 0.75 hike, and that's sort of what sent the market in turmoil last week, because as we have been talking, George, we always talked about potentially 4.5 being the top end of the terminal rate, 4, 4.5. But Fed Chair Powell yesterday, or in the last Fed meeting, said, "Hey, we're willing to go much above this to."
Oh my God.
Sort of tame inflation. So next Fed meeting, I believe, is on November 2nd. So right around the time of also midterm elections, which also could sort of add some, spirals or volatility into the market as well. Hopefully on the upside, if we do get some more pro-business agendas in there, I'll just leave it at that. It is a turbulent time, but they are dead set on getting this sort of inflation thing in order. And it's just kind of ironic, 2 years ago we were doing all these Fed actions to save the economy. And now that the economy is healthy, all these Fed actions are set on sort of slowing it down to get the inflation in order. So it's kind of a catch 22 with their mandate, but we'll see what happens.
It's like they're putting leeches on the economy. You know, it's old school. Like, we're going to try to bleed out the bad blood or something like that. I don't like it.
and on top of all of this, the Phillies won yesterday too.
Yeah, listen, they're scary, buddy. Phillies are scary. Mariners were scary before this thing yesterday, but hopefully they'll get back on. And they got to take one, just one, take one from Houston and keep this thing going. But holy smokes, man. Phillies are scary. We'll have more conversations about this. Day off for us. You guys don't play again today, do you?
Say again?
You guys don't play again today, do you?
No. It's sort of weird. We have a game day off. And so that's really what thought. If we had taken one from Verlander in Houston, we could have pitched our ace twice in this series. And I actually liked our chances. So that's what made yesterday even more heartbreaking.
Well, buddy, hang in there. And I'll hang in there, too. Listen, all of this news I take with a grain of salt because I'm in no hurry at all to liquidate anything I have because I just know how the markets go. So I love this. Alpine Planning Group's a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust. They're prepared to earn yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Thanks, Gabe.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.